May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You would have noticed that we took a break from our studies on First Epistle of Paul of John. Today we return back again. So far in this epistle, John has discussed what our relationship should be or not be in regard to God, to Jesus, the things in the world, sin, and to others. Near the end of the third chapter, he writes, "By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." You will notice here that John says, "We know by the Spirit." We know by the Spirit, God's Spirit. And one primary function of the Holy Spirit, we've been singing that since the beginning of today's service, is to impact knowledge. The knowledge we know about God, about Jesus, about Scripture, about the world. The Holy Spirit was given to the apostles to guide them into all the truth. So this thought is further developed in the first six verses of chapter 4, as Richard read to us today. You'll notice that abide is emphasized. Abide is emphasized in the last part of chapter 3. To abide in Jesus means to rest in, to count on, and act from the reality of Jesus' redeeming and transforming work. Is to act and live with the knowledge of his passionate love, his love for us, which is beyond time. It is to know for ourselves that we are children of God. It is taking on that new identity that we are God's children, and to realize that our feeling of guilt or fear do not tell us the whole truth about God's love for us. It is to hope in God's work in us, and by that hope, turn all our concerns, our sins, our anxieties, our hopes, our fears over to him. We do so because we are God's children. We do so because we can fall back to God, just like you are in a loving relationship, father, children, mother, children. You are in a loving relationship, family relationship, where you can confide. You can fall back, and perhaps you can think of shoulders in your life journey that you have fallen back to, where you are not judged, where you are received in love, like the prodigal son came back to the father and said, "Father, just accept me as one of your hired laborers." And the father threw party to receive him. So because we are God's children, we can fall back to him. We can fall back to him in trust that he loves us. We no longer act on these concerns, but on the truth that our lives and our identities come from the reconciling and transforming God. Now, John knows, even though this were clear, he had spoken about this to the church, to believers, but he also knew that his readers were hearing many other voices. There were alternative voices, voices that were saying, "Look, forget about what you have heard. It doesn't really mean that. You are not saved. Forget about your new identity in Christ. It doesn't really matter. You are not." Those voices that speak to us to condemn us. So John knew about that, and so he wrote this epistle. For many prophets have gone into the world. And so he now tells them how to discern these spirits. But the baseline for John is that he emphasizes that the way to avoid being deceived is to focus on Jesus and not to focus on ourselves. Not to focus on our weaknesses, but to focus on the victory that Jesus has won on the cross on our behalf. To focus on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." To hear that voice over and over again, even when we fall, to see the stretched out hand of Jesus ready to welcome us back. In Matthew chapter 7 As was read, Jesus tells us to be aware of false prophets, of wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, God has ordained that through the preaching of the cross, people will come to him. God has further ordained that Christians will mature as they adhere to the accurate preaching and teaching of God's word. So we cannot grow without the word of God. The word of God is important for our spiritual growth. Throughout Christian history, there are literally thousands, if not millions, of people who claim to speak for God. But strangely and unfortunately, many of these do, and some, as we often see, do not. But how do we get to tell the difference? How do we recognize this difference? Now, John points out that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. The Spirit of God lives in us, who will guide us to know, guide us into all the truth. The Spirit of God lives in us. And over these years of ministering here as a minister, I've laid emphasis on the power and the persuasive presence of God's Spirit. We cannot do without him. He is the one that leads us into all the truth. I have also shared with you how in many years before deciding for ministry, I didn't think I was going to be able to get to do this. But I see that relying on the power of the Spirit each day, that I'm able to do things I may ordinarily not have imagined. That God turns my weaknesses to strength. That God leads and guides. So the Spirit of God is available to lead us, to guide us as individuals and as a congregation to the knowledge of truth. John further reminds us that any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not of God. That Jesus came in the flesh means that we now have an advocate with the Father. An advocate who is interceding on our behalf. An advocate who is willing and able to turn our weaknesses to strength. Who is able to make us able once we make ourselves available. To grow in our ability to discern all the voices around us, telling us what is good, or telling us how bad we are, or telling us, or pointing almost to our weaknesses, is to continue to choose to abide in Jesus and to grow in our knowledge of him. We know more than I do that the media pours forth lots of information each day about how we should look, how we should dress, how we should drink, how we should even think or feel. In fact, to a degree, our lives are constantly shaped and reshaped by the information out there in the media. And we give thanks for the media, we give thanks for internet, we give thanks for technology and science. Often the media plays on our guilt, our fear, and anxiety. You'd have also noticed that very much our economy is constantly based on our being discontent so that we'll buy products to make us feel good. Almost like trying to redefine us. And at this time of the year leading up to Christmas, there is so much obsession. We should not be surprised to see the world following after the false prophets. For the false prophets are of the world, and they speak in a way as to appeal to the world. We should not be discouraged by the apparent success of the false teachers. Yes, we want to grow in number. We want this place to be filled. Because I believe that when the transepts were added, you know that when St. John's was built, the transepts were not originally part of the building. It was added. I don't think they added it as fun. They added it in response to growth. They added it to accommodate the population, the membership of the congregation. Yes, we would like to even extend. But what's the point in extending the building if we don't have consummate growth in our spiritual lives? It's not just enough to have size and number. That is not a true representation of spiritual growth. But we'd like to see that happen. We'd also like to see us mature in the things of the Spirit. In the midst of this warning to test the spirits, John provides some comforting words in verse 4 to 5. He reminds us that as powerful and persuasive as these spirits might seem at times, we are of God. You are of God. Hallelujah. I am of God. We are sealed. We are held by the hand of God. And we have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Is that not amazing? He that is in me, he that is in you, is greater than he that is in the whole world. We are to abide not in ourselves and our own understanding, but in the finished work of Christ. To grow in our discernment, to round up, we are invited as God's people to surround ourselves with whatever reminds us of the truth of God in Christ Jesus. We can tell each other this good news over and over again. As we look together at his work, worship, and pray together, we are better equipped to discern all the voices or spirits we encounter in our everyday life. It is here again that I will commend the Bible study groups to us. I will commend different times of fellowship for us. And we are blessed in St. John's to have these many, many opportunities for prayer, for studying, for growth, for accompanying each other as we discern the voice of God for our lives. Remember, as we choose to abide in him, that God is the one who is always drawing us closer to himself. He's already doing so. But be aware that he that is in you, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And that's why we'll be singing later on at the close of the service, in Christ alone. No power of hell will be able to pluck us out from the hand of God. Not even pain or sicknesses. Not even the voices of guilt that the enemy seeks to throw into our hearts from time to time. Amen. Holy Spirit, ever living.